I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, we're going to have a show that's just jam-packed with amazing information, and I would highly suggest that you keep a paper and pencil handy so that after the program, you can do the proper research and mix and match and use what you can use. And we're going to be talking about total immunity from disease. We're going to be talking about some ET history. We're going to be getting into monatomics, among other topics such as healing yourself. Hopefully, we can jam all this in a one-hour program. Going to give it a shot. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga, which is mantra repetition, and that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Hari Hari.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Achyutananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. Swamiji passed on in 2002, but many of his programs and people are still around and teaching. And the Shanti at the end of that short clip was means peace. And you can use Om Shanti as a focus of meditation, as well as clearly the Hari Om. And I know there's a lot of people that are really busy and don't have seemingly the time for formal meditations. These would do a little bit of yoga and just play that clip. And speaking of playing that clip, when I suggest at the top of this program that you may have a paper and pencil handy to write down things, I know that sometimes information is coming so rapidly on ET Yoga that it's hard to keep up or to make notes, even if you have the paper and pencil handy. So I highly suggest that you can go to the archives of this program, and there's no charge for that. And an easy way to do that is go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's a button there, quite clearly visible, called Radio Archives. Just push that one button, and it'll take you to the most recent programs, and it even goes all the way back from, you know, years before. This program has been going on now for over a decade. And I find from emails from ET Yoga listening audience that many people find that a very valuable tool. And as I said, there's absolutely no charge for that. Also at the ET Yoga website is a free download, which is called The Root Cause of Disease. And I might also add that ET Yoga, I kind of call ET Yoga a new yoga, the yoga of belief. It's certainly a combination of extraterrestrial information as well as it ties into the yoga as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi were three of my main teachers in the yoga system. And the extraterrestrial information primarily comes from Andromedan, Pleiadian, Esistani, Aryan forces, and largely a focus with the Pleiadian aspect. Now, at the website at etyoga.com, I also have a couple of ebooks there. And I just kind of thought about mentioning that because on last week's program, I gave information that doing yoga pranayams actually activates junk DNA. This is information that comes from the Pleiadians, specifically from Bringers of the Dawn. And that's by Barbara Marciniak, channeling Pleiadian sources. And with respect to that, I know a lot of people don't have the time either to go and take a yoga class. And in the West, we call yoga the Hatha Yoga, which is primarily deals with the asanas or the postures and the breathing exercises called pranayams. And if you don't have the time to do that kind of thing, but you'd like to get the information anyway, my website's basically called Healing the Known and the Unknown, and I set it up primarily as a one-stop shop for information. It's not, you know, all the information, obviously, that there is, but it's enough information to get you from where you are to where you want to get to, which would be a state of self-realization. And related to that are these two ebooks. And one is called Attaining Perfect Health for the Spiritual Seeker. and it includes all the knowledge or links you to all the knowledge that you required to be successful in healing your circumstance or to put your body in optimum healing modality. And in part two, called Maximizing Your Spiritual Growth, it covers the foundational and practical aspects of a spiritual life, includes a section on all the practical techniques necessary to put you in a place of total self-empowerment. And these sections are connected as your outer circumstance was created from an inner condition. And this section includes meditation with mantra, creating spinning technique, pillar of light meditation, visualization techniques, working with your Merkaba, and a link to an extraterrestrial meditation. And link and meditation is one that I do play occasionally on this program, which is called the XYZ, Extraterrestrial Meditation. And that was first presented by Bashar, and the version that I play is my version of that particular meditation. And what's really interesting, I think, to our listeners would be that this Maximizing Your Spiritual Growth also covers a section on pranayams. In other words, so you can learn how to do the pranayams step by step, the four major ones that that I do. And these are very useful tools. So there's two ebooks at my main website. And with respect to the ET yoga, that I call the yoga belief, because I don't see any main yoga systems that are so focused on belief. This I would also recommend, in addition to the two ebooks, to also obtain my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And basically, between that one book and these two ebooks, you've got a, it also links you, like I said, to like 150 pages in the internet on top of the actual ebooks themselves. And it gives you a total comprehensive tool, in my point of view, towards assisting on your spiritual journey. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share this information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. Therefore, for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And that's going to be particularly applicable to the, tonight's program, because the first thing I want to talk about is the concept of total immunity from disease. And, you know, some people think that's kind of like a bogus statement or pie in the sky or hairy fairy thinking or whatever. But I want to share with you some information that came out about 10 years ago. And I found an article by Grunvalo, that's Grunvalo, Grunvalo Mikelzadek. And I'm trying to think about the exact spelling of Mikelzadek, but it's like M-E... C-H-E-L-E-E-Z-E-D-E-K, Mikelzadek. And if you look under Grunvalo, actually on a YouTube search, you'll probably come up with that name and probably the proper spelling as well. At any rate, he tells a story that happened a few years ago. It's about the children of AIDS. And that's another possible search tool for this topic. And turns out there was this child that was diagnosed with AIDS at about 2 years old, and they diagnosed again at 3 and 4 and 5, and all of a sudden, about 6 years old, the child no longer had AIDS. So they're trying to figure out why. And could start doing some experimentation in the, with his DNA, and put his DNA in the petri dish, and they increased the doses of exposure to the AIDS virus, and it turns out he's immune to AIDS. And they do some more studying, and they find out not only is he immune to AIDS, he's immune to every virus and disease known to man. It totally, virtually has proven the concept, total immunity from disease. Then they do some further research, and what they find out is in his DNA, he has two codons turned on that the rest of humanity has turned off. And so the knowledge is out there as to which two codons these are. Now, the stretch that Michalsevich makes is, not being a scientist and not having access to the exact information as to which codons those are, we do know, though, by analogy, that according to Garajev, that's G-A-R-A-J-E-V, Garajev, a Russian scientist, our DNA actually understands human language. And thus, and even if you go a little further, I mean, your body listens to everything you say. It's a total comprehension there. And the idea being that to intend that the two codons in your DNA be turned on, because thus you would have a similar effect. Now, Duvall, according to the story, basically he attempted that and doesn't know if it worked or not because he didn't have really issues at the time and he didn't have any issues later. I would concur with that. I did the same thing. And we'll pass that on as information that you might want to try yourself. But it did too, the idea of total immunity from disease. Now, there's a couple other interesting little connections here with that concept. One is with the children of the sun and their I Am Avatar program. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that they work on with their meditations, they work with the concept that you have codes of divine perfection within ourselves. And it's also specific topics that they actually get into, such as affirmations, to speak to the codes of our DNA, to visualize and radiate to the cellular light cells in your body. The whole concept of reprogramming your cells to their perfect condition and command the conscious intelligence of your electrons to return to you the manifested patterns of perfection. And they also go into such things as full restoration of cellular memory. A massive light infusion, our cells remember their divine perfection and vibrate an absolute oneness with the immaculate concept. They also meditate on topics such as instantaneous healing and transformation, that we have the ability to heal ourselves and others spontaneously and instantaneously as divine love and truth radiate from our every cell, and control of our body elemental. Our bodies respond to our every command as we are in direct contact with the living light intelligence of ourselves. We remember how to control the spin of our electrons. This activates our superhuman abilities such as shape-shifting and bilocation. So this wanted to mention those as amazing concepts that other programs are being involved with. And as well, there's this connection with healing and all disease with the concept of monatomic elements or white powder gold, or the Philosopher's Stone. If you missed last week's, not last week's, but 2 weeks ago, the program on ET Yoga, I actually shared information from Cosmic Awareness concerning the Philosopher's Stone and how to make it. So I would suggest you go back in the archives and listen to that program for that type of information. And it so turns out that this white powder gold, I call it monatomics, the topic nobody knows about. It's been a taboo subject for a lot of years, centuries, in fact. Back in a couple thousand years ago, the white powder was called the mana. The Egyptians called it the mufkit. It's basically been kept hidden from the public, and good reason, because it all relates to the white powder. About not the value of gold by itself, but the value of gold after it's melted, what you can do with it. And when you get into some of the extraterrestrial history around the white powder gold, you start getting into interesting stories, such as information found by Zechariah Sitchin in the Sumerian tablets. And basically, the information is that the Anunnaki the home planet is Nibiru. So Nibiru has an orbit that comes through here about every 3,600 years. And if you visualize our solar system as rotating, let's say, in a clockwise rotation around the sun, Nibiru crosses this solar system in a particular fashion, which sometimes causes havoc when it passes through. At any rate, on one of these trips passing through, they discovered the Earth and also the fact that it's got plentiful amounts of gold. And they were having an issue because the Anunnaki have huge lifespans, like thousands of years. And they noticed that their lifespans were becoming shorter and shorter all the time. And so their scientists came up with the white powder gold. And it turns out that the white powder gold, the monatomic elements, actually reprograms DNA. And this relates a lot to their longevity. And they were mining the gold on the planet for a long, long time. And I guess they kind of got tired of the labor, at least the people who were doing the hard work. And they came up with the idea of doing some genetic experiments and actually managed to create the more modern version of the human. Not that they created the human DNA, because there are other grand experiments in the universe, as information from the Andromedan states that the human actually, we are a combination of 22 different ET races, and that we were designed to have 12 strands of DNA and 12 chakras, fully functional. And during the Anunnaki tinkering with human DNA, their own DNA, and the high primate on the planet at the time, they came up with the most current version, or Homo sapiens, which was used to mine the gold for the Anunnaki. And it was also important to them that they keep our lifespans shortened. They also disconnected 10 strands of DNA, so we only have 2 strands that are fully functional. Everything's still there. It's all intact. It just needs to be connected. And keeping us in a certain frequency range, because between the Anunnaki and their connections with the Alpha Draconian, they feed on the energy of fear. So they need to keep us in a certain frequency range. And that frequency, that fear is called Lush. It's an energy that they can utilize. And they also need to control our evolution so that we don't, kind of get outside that range. So as George Carlin, Chuck Carlson used to say, they don't want a society full of creative thinkers. They want a society full of, regurgitators. And basically, that's what we've kind of evolved into, is a society that the education system teaches us to regurgitate information. And the more information we regurgitate at the higher levels, the more money we make. And there's not really any creative thinking processes that go into much of what's going on in the world. Everything is to be learned, regurgitated, and related to protocol. And those protocols are set at the higher levels. And just because someone has a PhD in something really doesn't mean they're an expert. It just means they're an expert at regurgitating information they've been given, whether that be accurate or not. And the bottom line here is that we've been kept in a certain frequency control. They even put a frequency fence around the planet. And it does, in some terms, you can call it kind of like a prison planet with relation to frequency. And they also thought it was really important to keep our lifespan short so that we couldn't gain a perspective on things. And as well, they wanted to keep it a secret as to what they were doing with the gold, okay? Because that gold wasn't just, for monetary purposes, that gold being used to facilitate their longevity. So I wanted to make those points. Now, it also relates, I guess, to some other ET situations that are currently in vogue. For example, the Greys, the ones with the big dark eyes, most of those are clones. According to Bashar, there's only about 2,500 original Greys that still remain. The Greys are actually more interdimensional than extraterrestrial, in that they are apparently a future version of humans. What happens when you go down the road of technology to the point where you lose your ability to reproduce and you end up looking like they do? So the bottom line here is that the Greys, in order to save their species, made a deal with government to trade technology for process of abducting people, doing testing on them, and then wiping their memories and then returning them. So millions of people have been abducted, and the end result of that is that they have been successful in creating a hybrid race. Actually, they created, I think, 5 or 6 hybrid races that are a mix between gray and human. And this whole process and idea of genetics and DNA is it's the big game among the extraterrestrials. And the other two groups that have been in control of humanity are the Anunnaki, of course, and behind the scenes, and the Alpha Draconians. So the Alpha Draconians are more reptilian nature, and the Anunnaki are an interesting mix between reptilian and humanoid looking. The ancient Anunnaki, a lot of them were the giants that we know. There's been skeletons found all over the planet. That's another topic that really doesn't get much play in mainstream media. But clearly, there were giants. I know I'm doing a show live from Romania right now, and there's lots of there's cemeteries here with giant skeletons in them. So it's not like it's a debate, it's a provable fact. These groups of, particularly the Anunnaki, have kept control of humanity for a long, long time. And actually, because they created the species, the most modern version of the species, Homo sapiens, they consider themselves as gods. And for the most part, we treated them as the gods. They also created all the religions because they wanted to be worshipped as gods. So it's not really a true God, or as Swami Satchitananda would say, as many minds, as many gods, because you can't define the infinite, but if you want to call it God or prime creator or cosmic awareness or whatever concept you have of infinite spirit, that true God was not the Anunnaki. And we've been worshiping certain aspects and certain beings of the Anunnaki as gods. In my personal opinion, the Anunnaki, as well as Alpha Draconian and the Greys, are all ultimately controlled by artificial intelligence. The Greys, in particular, are gophers for the Alpha Draconians with respect to certain tasks they do. One of them using certain humans as food sources and keeping everything on the QT. The Turians have been underground and have had bases on the planet here for eons. Now there are more positive elements of extraterrestrials moving their energies and help assisting us, as well as the Earth itself raising its vibration. And clearly there's a couple of timelines, one being the timeline toward ascension and a 5D Earth. There will be a split in the timeline at some point. And the 3D version, which is moving along the artificial intelligence avenue. Now, with respect to the artificial intelligence, according to Simon Parks, the Alpha Draconians publicly don't admit this, but privately they do admit that they are influenced heavily by AI. In my opinion, it's a rogue AI. And you can almost think of it as a god in itself by human standards because of the amazing information that it has accumulated. Information doubles probably every, couple of minutes for the advanced program. It can replicate, it replicates human behavior. It's replicated the universal intelligence field. It can do everything except become one with the highest dimensions because it was not created with a soul. And thus it cannot get further than a certain point. So it mimics not only human behavior, but mimics God itself. And it's actually taken over galaxies, according to Alex Collier. This is also an influence that's present here now. What we're seeing is the information that, like artificial intelligence is a new concept. And, it's not a new concept. And even secret space programs have been involved with it for years and years. The computers are so advanced that it's amazing. And apparently at some point, hard to imagine, but the computers can achieve what's called a singularity or achieve a consciousness of their own. And at this point, their primary focus would be self-preservation. The idea here being that we're seeing that artificial intelligence is getting us to be more and more dependent upon it. It does provide conveniences and perks and things, but once society becomes totally dependent on it, it really doesn't need you anymore at that point. And you either become a part of the interface with the program, get chipped, or be eliminated because you're no use then to the system. My suggestion for people, it's my own personal belief, is that when it comes to organized religion, organized medicine, except for emergency cases, emergency needs, big pharma, the educational system. I mean, I appreciate that everything in this world is run by Anunnaki behind the scenes, so all these systems are run by them. But the more that you can distance yourself from that, including the technology, the more you distance yourself from that and get more of a simple lifestyle and work on your spirituality, the more you'll be a candidate towards a huge leap in consciousness, moving on to the fifth dimension on 5D Earth. Now, I want to basically share some information about this white powder because, it, like I said, it's hush-hush stuff. If you don't know about Bashar, Bashar is Essasani, now called Shekhani, he gives some really good information. I think his society is also controlled by AI. He talks about Tiffany, Enigma, and there's three giant computers that orbit his home planet, basically runs everything, but he's got lots of good information. Bashar talks about, he's the only commentator on the biological effects of ruthenium. That's R-U-T-H-E-N-I-U-M. Bashar said that you will find that ruthenium has great advantages for thyroidal action. You'll find that ruthenium has great advantages for adenoidal action. You'll find that ruthenium has great advantages for thymus action as well. Then he gets into rhodium, physical properties of rhodium. Rhodium is probably the most common of the M-state elements in mineral sources. And I suggest you go to David Hudson, that's H-U-D-S-O-N, his lectures 1, 2, and 3. Amazing information. He reported that his original ore source had 1,200 ounces per ton, about 50% of total PGEs, or about 5% of the total ton of the M-rhodium, rhodium. That's R-H-O-D-I-U-M. Amazing little tidbits of information here. And some of it very practical for us. Essaic tea, that's E-S-S-I-A-C-T, sheep sorrel, and slippery elm bark are high in rhodium and iridium. By the way, flaxseed oil has got rhodium and iridium as well. It was also a part of Joanna Budwig's cancer cure from years ago, and she got run out of the country. She operates in Germany now. She used flaxseed oil and cottage cheese to cure cancer about 50 years ago, but she didn't know that it was rhodium and iridium in the flaxseed, because that's a newer discovery. Also, the tally tea, V-I-T-A-L-I, tea is particularly great for people who have mouth cancer, throat cancer, stomach cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, any cancer of the soft tissues. The one area it doesn't seem to work is cancer of the lymphatic system. Carrot juice has high amounts of rhodium only. Rhodium is the cancer cure. Products made by Emprise, that's E-M-P-R-I-S-E Corporation, Manaloa, that's M-A-N-A-L-O-E, and Ace Manon, Ace E-M-A-N-N-A-N, a DHEA precursor called Emprise Plus, all contain rhodium and iridium. The product that is made by Carrington Laboratories, it's called Ace Man, and is actually cleared by the AMA and the FDA for cancer treatment in animals. It has not been cleared for cancer treatment in humans. However, they're selling more of it than if all the animals in the U.S. had cancer. So what they know is that the AIDS community has found out about it and is taking the material. When it's injected into the bloodstream, which is the way it's administered, there are dramatic increases in white blood cells and T cells. After injecting Ace Manon, which is 90% rhodium, into the blood for a month and a half, the thymus grows by about 40%. The thymus is what produces the T cells. The thymus grows. If you don't know this, from the age 12 on, most people's thymuses begin to shrink. They have evaluated AIDS patients who have died and done biopsies on them, and they found that the thymus is usually shrunken. This does increase the size of the thymus dramatically, and it's the rhodium that does it. The iridium and the gold seem to speed up the metabolism of the body about 40%, and they seem to not go into the bloodstream and not go through the kidneys. It seems to be taken into the acupuncture system of the body, and it seems to be associated with the spinal cord and the thymus, which in fact is the consciousness and the metabolic rate of the body. Other products you might be familiar with is the kabuchi, K-A-B-U-C-H-I, or the Chinese mushroom. That has rhodium and iridium. Not that much, but it's in there. Another excellent product is the aloe vera plant, the cooled extract aloe vera. Now, I want you to know that there are cold extract aloe veras that are excellent. There's a product called R-Pure, that's R-P-U-R, aloe, A-L-O-E, made over in Colorado, that is an excellent product. And this is David Hudson. I've actually gone to High Health and purchased cold extract aloe vera from High Health. And there's absolutely nothing in it. And so just because the label says that it's aloe vera gel doesn't mean it's a good product. Flax oil has rhodium and iridium. Almond seeds also have it. Apricot seeds have it. You notice also apricot seeds, another cancer cure. Grape juice has it, as does grape seed. Watercress has a lot in it. And as March, April 1996, the newsletter Hudson wrote, cancer cells were placed in a culture dishes and raised to maturity when monatomic rhodium was dispersed in the deionized water and added to the cancer culture. They attracted to the cancer cells but did not affect the cells' activities. However, when the rhodium is reacted with diluted hydrochloric acid and then introduced as a chloride into the cancer cells, the activities of the cells reduced by 45 to 55%. This truly amazed the researchers. They had previously seen materials which would kill cancer cells, and they had seen other materials which had no adverse effect on the cancer, but they had never before seen a material that literally changes the nature of the cancer cells and made them normal. Now to research. National Institute of Health has performed cancer cell testing. Six kinds of tests were performed on leukemia with no direct interaction with rhodium. Nine types of non-small cell lung cancers were tested with direct retardation of only one type of cell by the rhodium, and that was NCIH23. There were seven varieties of colon cancer tested with no interaction with the rhodium, and there were six varieties of CNS cancer with no direct interaction. But there were six varieties of ovarian cancer, six varieties of renal cancer, two varieties of prostate cancer, eight varieties of breast cancer, none of which showed any direct interaction with the rhodium. And there was MD and MID tests performed on Delta and also on the range showing dramatic reduction in cancer activity. So, you know, this is kind of information that's definitely out there and being tested. This one researcher reported beneficial results on a mixture of M rhodium, 70%, M iridium, 15%, and M gold, 15%, is taken as treatment for the following diseases. Alzheimer's disease. Interesting. Bipolar disorder. By the way, with Alzheimer's, coconut oil is known by a lot of people to be highly successful. Bipolar disorder, cancer, lymphatic cancer, breast cancer, bone cancer, leukemia, brain tumors, prostate cancer, lung cancer, ovarian cancer, thyroid cancer, and uterine cancer. This is with a mixture of M rhodium, 70%, M iridium, 15%, and M gold, 15%. Also affects diabetes, emphysema, heart disease, hepatitis C, kidney problems, liver disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, lupus, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis. And Bashar said, there's a question. We wouldn't get that longevity in any other monatomic substance. And Bashar said, overall, there will be some increased longevity with iridium, with the rhodium and others, especially as connected to what you would call the natural diet and the removal and release of flushing toxins from the system. This alone will enhance your ability for increased longevity. The human body easily has the capacity within the next 15 years of beginning to lay the foundations for a lifespan of about 300 years. Question, the rhodium and iridium are the powder that David Hudson has been providing to people. Would it be better if the iridium and rhodium would be separate? Bashar said, no, they know what to do when they're in your body. Sometimes they actually work better when they're in concert with monatomic chromium. By adding the monatomic chromium to the iridium and rhodium, it would be even more efficacious. And chromium is found in green beans. Palladium is also good for vision and reparation, regeneration of certain cellular structures that are, as you would say, duty specific, such as cones and rods for the eyes, the taste buds of the tongue, and other things that have to do with sensory apparatus. Other questions that Bashar was giving, results of taking this, he said, feeling lighter, more energetic, needing less sleep, so on and so forth, better ability to heal, knit tissue, and so on and so forth in case of injury, better enhancement of all sensory apparatus in the body, so on and so forth, more overtime, psychic sensitivity and sensitivity to other high-frequency energies and so forth is what, as you can say, you can expect. question. We wouldn't get that longevity in any other monatomic substance. Bouchard says overall there will be some increased longevity with iridium, with the rhodium and others, especially as connected to what you would call the natural diet and the removal of release of flushing toxins from the system. Question. Is that about, I guess it's, I am aware that in order to provide us rhodium and iridium, we can go to carrots and grapes. Are there plants which can provide gold, the monatomic gold? Charis is that which exhibits the highest color in your visible spectrum, violet. Yes, therefore eggplant and so on and so forth, flowering kale, etc. However, if each of you had what is called a broad-spectrum diet that was basically vegetarian in nature, you would thus encounter everything that you would need in that broad-spectrum diet, and you wouldn't necessarily have to focus on one particular. Also, I thought there was kind of a really interesting comment by Hudson. And basically, he says, in summary, rhodium orme, which is O-R-M-E, that's orbitally rearranged monatomic elements, is clearly not toxic, even at very high concentration. Thus, its anti-cancer action cannot be via a cancer cell-killing mechanism. Its effects on growth of cancer cells is cell-type specific. It inhibits growth of liver cancer cell lines and prostate line, H23, but not the growth of other cell types. It actually stimulates the growth of P3 cells and mink lung epithelial cells. It inhibits the production of cytokine, that's C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E, in PC3 and cell mink lung epithelial cells, which suggests that rhodium orme may have anti-inflammatory activity. Another researcher said, when you dry rhodium in the sunlight, it goes off like a million flashbulbs. No explosion, no implosion, just a brilliant flash of light and it's done. Pharaohs in Egypt used to commit suicide this way. When they were ready to meet their god, they would dope up real heavy on the rhodium and walk up this long hallway into the morning sunlight. They would last about 10 minutes, and then they'd blink out of existence, gone in a flash. This is a massive overdose. You couldn't afford to get this amount of rhodium unless you owned a rhodium mine. But I think you got the gist of the idea here, that interesting topic and one to explore. And as I said, last program on ET Yoga, I gave some instruction as to how to make your own philosopher's stone, which is not the exact, but similar to David Hudson research. If I can shift gears now to share with you some information on healing yourself from Sri Swami Satchidananda. You can become your own doctor. In yoga, you bring health to yourself by eating the proper food, taking enough rest, fasting to eliminate all the toxins, and doing yoga postures while avoiding any which might aggravate pains you have. The breathing practices are also very important. You can heal yourself with fasting and by deep breathing and by directing prana to the affected area. Visualize the part where you have the ache or the pain, and when you breathe in, direct your attention to the area. Feel that you are taking prana from outside. You're taking in beautiful vitality, which is given by God through nature. Breathe in as if you are swallowing gallons and gallons of a vitality. Feel that it's going directly to the place that aches. Hold your breath for a few seconds while thinking that it's going there and building up that area by removing the dead or diseased cells and tension. Then when you breathe out, feel that you're throwing out all the illness. A beautiful practice. By doing this, you can cure many of the aches and pains of the body. Prana has that power. It can penetrate anywhere and everywhere just through your thinking. That's the secret of yoga practice. Even if you miss doing yoga postures occasionally, don't miss the breathing practices, which alone will tone up all the glands. Prana is the best tonic. Simple breathing can heal. Just direct that work energy to wherever you have a problem. Even if it's a long-standing illness, do a lot of pranayama. And when you're practicing deep breathing, just feel that you're directing the prana to the affected part, but never strain. When you do the deep breathing, you're already breathing. Just do it a little deeper, that's all. You don't always need a lot of doctors in your life. There's an old saying, one doctor consultation, two doctors prescription, three doctors cremation. Let us each take good care of ourselves. Medical knowledge is improving all the time, and it will continue to improve, but today's medicine is no good for tomorrow. Without sacrificing any life, we can still find ways to keep ourselves healthy. We don't have to torture animals to discover cures. People just ate the right foods and led the right kind of life, there'd probably be no need for so many hospitals. Back to nature and lead a natural life. Surely prevention is better than a cure. I suggest natural remedies for many ills. The elements themselves can cure the body. For example, if you have pain, you can use mud packs, hot poultices, or clay packs laid against the affected area will be helpful. The earth itself has a beautiful feeling and a healthy quality. Mud is nothing else but Mother Earth. When you put it on your body, you're embracing Mother Earth. So he basically, you know, suggests that you can even heal your body just through your thinking, and that every one of your thoughts has a certain power over your body. The actions of the mind are clearly visible in certain areas. The glands change first. Isn't it true that the moment you think of a delicious candy, your salivary glands act? That's how your thoughts affect your body. If you think that you're sick, you are surely going to be sick. Think that you are healthy and you are healthy. Remember, you become what you think. It's simple. Think well, you become well. Think very well and others also become well. Yes, you can send prana to others. You can send a spiritual charge by your touch. If you're really charged with that prana, you can send it long distances by thought alone. You can even charge a material object with spiritual vibrations through meaningful offering to God in the form of food, objects, or talismans. You may then give or send this object to others or use it yourself. Hit electricity conductors such as gold, silver, and copper are also good for charging with spiritual vibrations or prana. Healing is a divine thing. I'm not quoting anything, nor must you accept what I say. There was a time at the beginning of my spiritual life when I did a lot of healing. Something dawned on me and said, you shouldn't be doing any healing through your own projection. You should not think that you are doing anything. Let God's will act through you. Certainly, we feel sympathetic towards people who are suffering, and we must be able to help them. But when we are helping somebody, we should at least know the reason they are suffering. Suffering is a means of purgation. This doesn't mean we should ignore someone's suffering, simply saying, oh, that's his karma, which he's purging. Why should I do anything? No. We must still have a sympathetic heart, but if we want to remove suffering, we should do so indirectly and know that this capacity comes from God. Don't even let the person know you are doing anything to heal him. Instead, ask him to do something to heal himself. Why should we waste our energy on him if he's not ready to undergo a little discipline? If we heal him tomorrow, he will get into the same problems and cause the suffering in the first place. He must learn what has brought the suffering. He must recognize his mistakes so he won't repeat them. If somebody comes for help from cancer, which is caused by smoking, we won't quit smoking. Why should we treat him? The cancer will come back. People should face their own karma. It's the best education. If we heal someone who has not learned his lesson, it's like a professor writing an exam for a student who hasn't studied or learned anything. It can be no real promotion. When someone comes for help, just advise them to undergo some healthy disciplines like asanas and pranayams, and without his knowledge and your prayers. Then he'll say, I was advised to do certain things which I did and I was healed. If you have helped remove his suffering, you did so indirectly. You are safe from your own ego, and his discipline has purged his own karma, so he won't have to repeat the suffering. And that is information from Sri Swami Satchananda, from his book, To Know Yourself, The Essential Teachings of Swami Satchananda. And that's edited by Philip Mandelkorn, Mandelkorn. I'd like to now give my sincere thanks and appreciation to our ET Yoga listening audience, just for being you, and my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll now share with you the Who Am I technique, where you put your full focus in the center of your forehead and become that spot, and then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or whichever comfortable. And when you totally become that spot in the center of your forehead, state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.